privilege of standing here today to share the word of God. More so, I want to appreciate you all, you know, for taking part in my 50th birthday fasting and praying party. Thank you ever so much. Quite appreciated. I came across the mystery behind a woman of God in America. This woman is a mother. Please don't get me wrong. I love talking about women. But, you know, I like men to be encouraged as well. This woman is a mother. She's a wife. She's an author of so many books. A speaker at many women conferences and retreats. Although this woman loves to travel, she loves makeup. You can see that I love makeup. You know, I wear makeup all the time. If I don't wear makeup, people think I'm sick. You know, it's been part of me and I enjoy wearing it. But this woman enjoys doing the same thing. That's why I like her. But unfortunately, she's blind. She lost her sight when she was 15. But that didn't stop her from traveling, ministering to women. You know, women that are weary, women that are hurting in different circumstances. And one day, as she was going into one of her ministry, she said she was always falling, you know, having bruises and, you know, bumps in a way of locating her new hotel rooms. And she felt that maybe she should stop. But she felt she was encouraged and she became brave going along with the word of God and ministering to women. And I can remember vividly she said, "It can be well with your soul, even when it is not well with your circumstances." So many times she sustained these bruises, but she did not stop. Like I said, she loves wearing makeup. And everybody kept asking her, "You know, your makeup is well done. How did you do it? Who does it for you?" She said, "Oh, I made it myself." She's blind, no mirror, but she still made her face so beautiful. She became so skillful in making her face while she's going to preach. And one day, her son came into the room and saw her making up her face. Her son said, "Oh, Mom, one day you are going to greet the world with your face red, designed by lipstick, and your lips black, designed by your eyeliner," because she couldn't do it well. But later on, she got so good at it. So praise God for her. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning to give you praise and adoration. We've come to exalt your wonderful name. You are worthy of our praise. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as we welcome you into this gathering, Holy Spirit, come and take control. Lord Jesus, sweet gentle spirit, I invite you to bless my voice as I speak. Father God, sanctify my tongue. And Father God, open my mouth and my lips to speak as your oracle. Let your people be blessed as they hear this word. Lord Jesus, let their heart be open to you. You know, whoever they are that have come here with circumstances, Lord Jesus, come and take control as we journey through the working of faith in Jesus' name. We all know that we've been studying the book of Ephesians for the past few months or years. Yeah. Yeah, we've had different version of Ephesians. I have been inspired by chapter 3. A chapter full of mystery, because I'm full of mysteries. I had a party. Everybody knows Nigerian with their big extravagant party, especially when it is 50. But for me, very mysterious, God turned it around to be fasting and praying party. And all over the world, About 5 continents, people participated. They wanted to be part of it. I asked for 50 people. Over 100 people called me, prayed with me, texted me, sent email. Even you guys were part of it because you gave me a mysterious one. So I thank you. Well, I'm going to read from chapter 3, verse 12. Paul says, in him and through faith in him, we approach God with freedom and confidence. Did you know that faith is a gift from God that is added when we are saved? Emma just came out to give a testimony about her father that was a churchgoer and that was saved. I mean, he's been going to church, but he's just received Jesus. That is a gift. That is faith, having faith in him. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. We did not see it, but we believed it, that Jesus died for us. In the Old Testament, it was difficult for people to approach God. It was so difficult that they had to go through one person. There were so many priests in the church or in the world, but only one priest, the high priest, has the access to go to the Father, the Holy of Holies. Because if they go near it, something will happen. So they were so scared that nobody was able to approach God. So therefore, they took one day of the year to celebrate this. And that day is called the Day of Atonement. And the high priest is the only one that can approach God. And when he approaches God, you know, there was all kinds of ceremony using the blood of an animal. But praise God, today it is different. Before I became a Christian, I was a churchgoer. I was so religious. I felt God was a fierce father. I had the mindset that I was a sinner all the time. I felt condemned if I do something, and I condemn when I don't. But the Spirit of God in me was so far away that I wasn't sure of my belief in Christ. I was just doing whatever I like. Monday to Friday, I have the same normal life. Then come Saturday, I rush to church because I wanted to take the Holy Communion. So I go to confess to a Reverend Father to intercede for me. But praise God, today we have Jesus. He said in him and through faith in him, we approach God with freedom and confidence. We had this opportunity by approaching God without any password. It's like going into the big MI5 mainframe, the computer, and going in there without any password and logging into the system. How wonderful. That is what Jesus has done for us. He finished it on the cross when he said in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 and 51. And when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, thank God for the voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn into two. From top to bottom, the earth shook and the rocks split. Praise God. Jesus cried out. Jesus cried out to the Father in a very loud voice. And he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain tore into two. And why this curtain turned into two? It means we have the ability, we have the access, we can walk into the Holy of Holy without nobody. We have the opportunity. We are all seated here today, fellowshipping, celebrating our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus did it for us. He did it on the cross. He said we can't go in, and we are here today. Praise God. He destroyed the culture. Emma's father came here, churchgoer, received Jesus. And when you receive Jesus, faith is an added bonus. And he went away with the faith of God to start an Alpha class back home. I was the same. But praise God that we can celebrate the joy of Jesus. We can celebrate the mystery of one person, our Lord Jesus. We can celebrate the death of Jesus. We can celebrate Jesus is alive, and we are alive here today. He transformed, he took away my religion, he transformed it into spiritual life. He gave me salvation, he added value to it. He gave me the gift of faith. And every day, he develops my faith. Thank you. I remembered when I first started, I first gave my life to Christ. I'm sure you all experience the same thing. You get intoxicated. You want the world to know. You want to show off your new love. For me, I started learning to read the Bible. A psalm came by, Psalm 34, verse 8, caught my eye, and it kept following me all day long. Anywhere I go, this psalm follows me, especially this verse. It says, "Come and see, my God is good." I wanted the world to know that my God is good. I had this caption. It wrote, "Come and see, my God is good." I pasted it in my office. I pasted it on the car. Anywhere I go, "Come and see, my God is good." I was showing off. And that prompted people. I was shy before. Today, I can talk. And people came around and said, "Oh, what does that mean? Why are you saying that?" It gave me a mechanism to witness to people. I was able to discuss about it. I was showing off my little knowledge. And, you know, and today, people gave their life to Jesus. They followed my Jesus, and they are blessed. I couldn't hold on to it. I couldn't become a reservoir, keeping up to it. The Lord turned me into a river, and I started flowing. And I overflow into other people's life. And I praise God today. So today, you guys are going to be an overflow. You're going to be rivers that will flow into the life of others. If you don't know how to witness to people, you will learn it today. You will minister to the life of people. People will be born again. People will know Jesus because of some... You don't have to do anything, you know, super. Just a little voice, just a little caption can speak the word, and you come out in style, and people will follow you. So praise God. That was my mechanism. But I didn't know that as I entered into this journey with the Lord, it will be taking me deeper and deeper. And in that deep stage, I call it the implementation stage. He picked me up. He dismantled me. Dismantled my lifestyle. I was like a clay in the hands of the potter. He turned me around. You know, he turned me, trying to make me into a finished product. So I couldn't say nothing, and I dare not say nothing, because the owner of the clay or the owner of the pot is the potter. So he does whatever he likes with me. And praise God for that. As I humbled myself, I followed him. I'm now a project of God, and he's a project manager. Recently, as a spoiled child, I decided to take a shortcut and pray, because I felt like when I talk to God, you know, I have a star. I'm a spoiled child, like I said, in the hands of God, because I felt that I am a beneficiary of his glory. So I went into my closed room and I prayed and I told God. I was so specific about what I wanted. I measured it and I timed it, and God was laughing. I got excited. I went out without asking for the will of God. I said I wanted a job. I wanted this job to fit in with my birthday. I wanted this, I wanted that, I wanted this. And he answered, and he started smiling. He did it. Praise God. And everyone was excited. The job was fantastic. The salary was perfect. But along the line, the Lord decided to draw the carpet and said, "My dear, I am the project manager and you are the plan. And then he said that his plan towards me is of good, of not of evil. So, and when that carpet was drawn, some people that knew about it felt upset. Some felt disappointed. A particular friend of mine felt discouraged. I met her in the university. And she said, you know, I bet what that was what is in the mind of most people, but they couldn't say. But she was bold enough to say, and to say, why you? I am very discouraged. Why should God allow this to happen to you? After all, you prayed. Well, I didn't want to feel like a spiritual giant. I know that the gift of faith and grace has been with me and has been taking me on. I responded, why not me? Why not me? And then reminded her, why don't we start counting our blessings instead of counting our losses? And I said, in all things, let's give thanks. God has a plan. He has a purpose. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. That's my second verse. He said, Paul said, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged, but of the suffering for you, which are your glory. I feel God knows how we feel, each one of us, because he's a great planner. He's the planner of our life. So, he that has started a good work in us will perfect us. He will fit or fix our suffering to his glory. Sometimes, we are trapped into the lane of discouragement because we are human. Sometimes we feel life below us. We feel burdened with loads of circumstances. We feel the cross is so heavy, we feel we can't carry it. We feel it is so difficult to bear. We feel we can't cope anymore. But praise God, he's taking us into the testing phase, testing stage. I reminded myself that he knows our strengths and he knows our weaknesses. If he has not given me the ability to carry on, maybe I would have been broken. But today I'm standing here. I'm praising his name because he said he knows our strength. If he says it that if he gives you something and you can't carry it, he won't let it come near you. So many things happen to each one of us. He knows we can carry it. That's why he's allowed it to happen. So remember, while we are waiting, whatever circumstances you have or situation you have, while you are waiting, I want to tell you God is busy working. Working for you, working for me. He says delay is no denier. He said he's a great project manager. He's going to manage your life. He's going to manage your ways. Our testing will surely come to a testimony shortly in Jesus' name. God wants to encourage us today. He said in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, he said that for the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plan to give you hope and a future. So praise God because he's answered it all. He's a planner. And why did God say that? Because he said in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3:20, he said, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Praise God. He is able to meet our needs. He's able to do it. During the time of Elisha, there was a widow in the Bible, her husband was a prophet. That means she has faith. The woman had two sons. Praise God, I have three sons. she had some financial crisis. I'm sure some of us do have some financial crisis. And she had little oil. But because of the faith she had, the debt collectors were coming. She could have just not opened the door, but Elisha knocked on her door. And what happened? Turned her lack to plenty. Her oil overflowed. She had so much to pay her debts, and then she had so much to bless her children. And she had so much to give to others. So may God give us so much that we'll be able to bless others. May God make us a channel of his blessing. In Jesus' name. Today we have direct access to God. We don't have to go through anyone. We have direct access to Jesus. He can do it. He said it. He's able to do it. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly what we ask or think. I was thinking, I was asking. He did it. But because there is a purpose, he has something greater for me. He wanted to turn my breakdown to a breakthrough. And he said, wait, I am about to do something. So I am in the waiting lane. So if you are waiting, just keep waiting. He's busy working. In Jesus' name. I'd like to talk to you about my favorite woman in the Bible. Everybody knows me with this woman, and they know me with this little phrase. In every circumstances of my life, sometimes it hits me, and as soon as I get myself together, I just said it is well. It is well with my situation. It is well with anything at all. I don't go crazy when things really happen. I just say it is well. I got motivated through this woman. This woman is one of my favorite women in the Bible. She is like a role model. And I can look at her passage and I can turn it around to fit any situation I find myself. I love her so much, and I believe by the end of the day, you will see what I've seen in this woman. And then, you know, maybe you might pick somebody in the Bible to motivate you as well. This woman is the Shunammite woman. The Shunammite woman is a woman of substance, the Bible said. The Bible said she's a woman of valor. She's very influential. I bet she's beautiful. And she's very generous as well. Some people think, oh, why are you so generous? The Shunammite woman is generous. She gives. She's a giver. I bet when she built the penthouse, we can call it penthouse today. They said a small house on the roof. That is the penthouse. She must have been loaded for her to do that for a man of God. She blessed the man of God. And in returns, God blessed her with a son. She didn't ask for it. He said, above all that we ask or think. She wasn't even thinking about anything. She wasn't even thinking about what she would get in returns. But she was blessed with a son. I have a strong feeling that she must have faith as well for her to think about building a house for a man of God. That is faith. It's not anyone that can do it, but she did it. And then suddenly, I bet when her faith was developing, God tested her. Her son died. Her only son died. Today, we might have children. They might die in the spiritual realm. It doesn't mean they have to die physically. They might go astray. They might do whatever, but her child died. And when they ask her, even her husband asks her, she says it is well. On her way going, she said she was going to the hill. To the hill, 2 Kings. As she was going to the hill, she was claiming she was focused. She was claiming she was focused. She was positive. She kept saying, it is well. When they see her on the road, what is wrong with you? She said, it is well. It is well with her soul. It is well with her situation. But when she got to the hill. Psalm 121 says, hills is where God helps those who seek him. She knows that she will get help when she goes to the hill. So if we go to the hill, if we go to the presence of God, we will get healed. We are in the presence of God, we'll be healed today. This woman went to the man of God at the hill. She caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came and pushed her away. Sometimes when we are going through situation, you know, circumstances around us push us away from the sight of God. You know, discourage us. All sorts of things make us to doubt God. But this woman was so distressed, and Elisha saw it and said, she's human. Leave her alone. She's distressed. It is only in the presence of God that we can show her true color. You can't hide yourself from God. You can't pretend to God that all is well when it is not well. It is only God that you can talk to, because he is the one that has the key to our answer. The woman got to Elisha. She broke down. She cried. You know, she threw herself to the presence of God. And, you know, refused to go. Even when Elisha sent the servant to go and heal, to go and do, she didn't want to go through the go-between. She doesn't want any pity party. She wants God to take care of her situation. She held on to Elisha. Today, we are going to hold on to Jesus. Jesus is going to heal our situation. He's going to take control over it, no matter whatever we think. As this woman says, she said, "The Lord lives as your soul lives. I will not leave you," she said. And Elijah had to follow. So if we don't leave Jesus, he's not going to, if we don't leave him, he must surely follow us. He must surely take care of our needs. He must surely answer us. So therefore, today, the woman had we had deep faith in Christ. We all experience different things, and that's why we're seated here today. You know, we could easily go out of here. We could easily turn away from God, but we're still coming. We're still holding on to God, and we're still asking him to take care of the situation. I believe that today he's going to do it. He restored back the life of this child. Elisha performed mysteries, the mystery of God, and this child came alive and was restored. So whatever situation it is, we shall be restored. We shall be restored in Jesus' name. Restoration is going to come because we will start having revelation about the goodness of God, the mystery of God, in the mighty name of Jesus. So the great high priest, our great high priest is Jesus, is encouraging us today to come to him in faith, to come to him, come with our sufferings, come to the presence of God with whatever we have. Suffering comes in different shapes and sizes, but it's not too big for God. God is bigger than our sufferings. You may be here today with issues, with different circumstances that you know you cannot bear. It might be your marriage, it might be your relationship, it might be loneliness, it might be frustration, it might be financial situation or job situation, it might be your ministry, it might be your health. You might be spiritually blind. Jesus is saying today, to those who come to me, he will take care of their situation. So let's learn to trust God. He's enough for us. He will give us deeper gift, which is his faith. He's able to do it. Let's take a step of faith. Let's take courage and hope he is able. In Jesus' name, thank you. I will urge you to, you know, maybe in twos, to share with one another and pray and let the Holy Spirit take control over the rest. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Carol. Let's do that. Let's turn to the person next to you. Make sure no one's left out, so maybe in the threes. Let's just do what we've been asked to do. And let's just, what's the thing that's been, this morning as Caroline's been showing, what's the thing that's come to mind? What's the thing that's been on your heart? As we've been talking, what's the thing that struck you? Pray together through those things.